If you're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums, is here before you die.
Style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round. I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10.
All right, for this episode, we'll be talking about Digital Underground, Sex Packets. In the room, I have Adam.
Hey.
Rob.
Hi.
And on the line, I have Ben.
MC Blowfish.
And Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Put it in her butt.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
Sex Packets is the debut studio album by the American hip-hop group Digital Underground, released on March 20th, 1990. The producer was Digital Underground, and the genre is Golden Age of Hip-Hop and Alternative Hip-Hop. I'm going to read from the book, Andy Pickering. Sex Packets is the brainchild of Shock G, a rapper and production wizard whose immense talent is matched by his eccentricity. It is a concept album built around a pill that delivers a virtual reality sex experience set to a rich musical tapestry that borrows heavily from P-Funk samples. Using live instruments and impeccable production, the music is cleverly put together, transcending P-Funk and hip-hop and becoming a pure expression of sex, funk, and humor. Highlights include the sleazy slow-motion sass of the Prince-sampled title track, the hilarious crossover club hit Humpty Dance, performed by Shock G's alter ego Humpty Hum, and Freaks of the Industry, a hypnotic ode to freaky sex featuring some deaf scratching and a sublime piano solo from the Underground's Piano Man. The package is delivered with style, humor, charm, and outright absurdity, and quickly becomes an irresistible concept itself. There are some who find the joke sexist and the music overtly reliant on sampled P-Funk, but these critics are missing the point. Sex Packets is a uniquely eccentric hip-hop classic and conceptual album worthy of George Clinton. All right, what do we think of Digital Underground, Sex Packets?
Eh.
Okay.
Eh. Fun.
Yeah.
Had anyone heard this like previously?
No.
Not the whole album.
I don't think I've ever listened to the whole album before.
No.
I'm surprised that people continue writing bass lines after Humpty Dance. I mean, what else do you need?
I had when I was looking up the Humpty Dance, I was like, where is that bass coming from? Like, what are they doing? Like, where's the big, like, swirling bass? And it said that Chopmaster J said, we were kind of arguing about something when a loop of the bass ended up getting stuck in the sequencer. And it was wonderful, making a mistake, kind of locked in where it was. We had too much MIDI gear hooked up to too many things going on at once, and the bass was being played. That ended up looping in a way that was something that we had never heard before. Quite honestly, no one's ever been able to duplicate since. Awesome.
Well, that's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, it is pretty sick, yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I was very skeptical when I heard Humpty Dance. I was like, oh boy.
No, I think Humpty Dance still hits, and a lot of these songs are good, if not like really good. My issue is song length, and it's
hard not to comment on that.
It's a fucking this is a tragedy of the CD age. Like, as opposed to having the 12-inch extended singles, like for the dance floors, they could put the whole fucking thing like on the record, to the point where it's 65 minutes long. If you got the tape, it's fucking 85.
Wow.
Like,
yeah,
that's, yeah,
the songs are very extended. And yeah, like there would be songs where I'm like, okay, it's wrapping up, and you look and there's 2 minutes left or something.
Yeah,
but nothing new happens in that 2 minutes,
which is
other than maybe like they added like a super compressed snare at the end or something.
It's wonderful if you're mixing, like it's great for the dance floor, but like it for like a long player, yeah, like it's not my favorite cup of tea, but I really did like a lot of it.
It would be impossible not to not.
I like how they do it on Do What You Like, where like 3.5 minutes into the song that they come on and like, okay, if you're a DJ, this is where you fade it out. And like, we'll even do a fade out for you. And they fade it out. Then it comes back. It's like, all right, but if you're in the club, like, we're just going to keep on dancing for a few more minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever. I liked it.
Yeah. They had had, I think it was Shock G. One of them was a DJ at a radio station and got a lot of flack for playing a P-Funk Parliament Funkadelic like track that was like 15 minutes long. Mm. And so I think their idea was, well, we're going to extend these songs. Yeah. Like, we're just going to make them for the club, have these, you know, just extend it as much as possible.
So, do it the way they would in the club.
Yeah.
I mean, they accomplished their goal. Then,
yeah.
And I'm proud of them. But for me listening to...
There's a lot going on with this record.
Yeah.
It's a concept record, sort of. That's kind of baffling.
It is
a concept record.
Mm-hmm. There's a character invented from whole cloth. Sort of a Andy Kaufman, Tony Clifton kind of thing going on. We've got Shock G and Humpty Hump. And I think his brother was like playing Humpty on stage during their live shows and like lip syncing and wearing disguises with his fake nose.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know that Shock G's got multiple alter egos. Do any of the other ones make appearances other than Humpty? Well, I guess MC Blowfish.
Yeah.
And then Birch, in your intro, you were mentioning the Piano Man. I know that Shock G is a trained pianist. Is he also Piano Man in Digital Underground?
Yeah. Yeah, he plays that. He plays it in Do What You Like, that mm-hmm. piano interlude. That's him. So, yeah, multi-instrumentalist.
He goes kind of ham on Freaks. Yeah.
Yeah. He also is a visual artist. And, like, if you ever, like, see, like, the cartoons of Humpty Hump and stuff, those were drawn by Shock G, like, on, like, the singles, like, the album cover for Sex Pack, it's a photo, but like for like the singles and stuff, it's often an illustration that Shock G drew.
Does anybody know where Humpty Hump comes from? The more I read about this, the more
it's
I was
weird.
Just, like,
yeah, it's
laughing.
It's this, yeah, character. I mean, there's what sex packets are, and then there's Humpty Hump and his origin story of like burning his nose in a restaurant cooking accident. Yes. And wearing a fake nose.
Yes. His official name is Edward Ellington Humphrey III, former lead singer of Smooth Eddie and the Humpers. He had become a raptor after burning his nose in a kitchen accident with a deep fryer. Because of the accident, the characters were seen a large nose disguise. And the way they got those noses, which are just literally Groucho glasses, mm-hmm. like the mm-hmm. nose and the big eyebrows, is they were shooting the video for Do What You Like, which is just a party. They just had a party in Orlando and like invited everybody, including Tupac and like who was in the band at the time and all these different rappers. They could get like a couple of those glasses for very cheap, like super, super cheap at a discount bin. So they just grabbed a bunch and he just put it on. And he's like, all right, now I'm this character. I've made this character up. And that's how it just like ran with it.
Dude, I like it. Like the silliness of Humpty Hump does not bother me at all. Like
the turns of phrase are like one after another. There's great lines. I mean, dude, it's Humpty's obviously funny.
Great lines. He's got great lines. He's sex positive. I like that about him. He keeps it 100. He tells you what he really thinks. That's for sure.
I remember this song coming out as a child, 1990. Yeah, I was like 11. I remember the Humpty. Okay. I remember riding a bus to school and back, and the bad kids in the back had a boombox, and they would play Freaks of the Industry every fucking day.
Whoa. Okay.
And I was a little dude. I didn't know about butt sex. I didn't know about all this stuff.
You didn't know about putting a towel under the door.
So your buds don't see you.
Your buds don't clown on you.
As a 10-year-old, 11-year-old boy, I knew like every word of that song after a amount of time. And I was like scared and intrigued by it.
What do you think?
And it
do
was
you like it?
Baffling to me that it was the Humpty Hump group. It was the same group. I was like, what?
And what a group. How many members did you count?
a lot.
What do you think, right?
Wait, I want to know.
40.
Whoa.
There are 40 members of the Digital Underground.
Past members, yeah. I mean, they're all past members at this point. Yeah, they don't. But wasn't it like a? It was like a rotating cast.
Yes, but
you got Tupac in there.
Yeah,
Tupac's in there. Tupac's in the.
You've got he's nothing the but trouble.
Of, Tupac's in the background of the Humpty Dance video, an unfamous Tupac just b-boying back there.
Nice.
I will start that band, Unfamous Tupac.
The song, the way we swing that we were listening to in our mm-hmm. headphones, really made. As soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, this is. Like the sound of the Jurassic Five.
Oh, dude, I'm glad you said that. I was thinking mm-hmm, the same thing.
It was, mm-hmm. I heard that song. I was immediately felt like this is where that sound, which I had discovered in high school, you know, 5 years later or 6 years later. It's like, oh, now I know where they came from. And I just don't think I'd ever put that together. That was that sort of like P-Funk backup with that kind of slow groove, fun feel.
Yeah.
With like the unison vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Some people said too that was a commentary. The first line where you say you won't hear a ding and a dong, you won't hear those bells. And I was like, what are they talking about? Like what bells? You know, I thought that maybe it was just a one-off rhythm. It might have been a reference into there was a LL Cool J rap. It was like
keep your heads ringing, ring yeah, ding dong,
yeah,
ring,
yeah,
ding ding dong. Mm-hmm.
And so
you're thinking of the Froggy Fresh song Prank Call.
Oh,
yeah.
No, there
ringing down.
But there was a Rap of the Bells song. And it was, you know, their introduction. That second song was their introduction to be like, this is not standard hip hop. We're doing this sort of De La Soul, like alternative yeah. hip hop. We are not NWA. We're not Public Enemy. Like, we're going to do something different. It's funk.
Well, they stop do a what lot you're of- doing.
They do a lot of telling you what they're doing, I noticed, yeah. lyrically. There's a lot of discussion and explanation of this is what we are and this is what we aren't.
Yeah.
Well, they did start out as like they dressed like in militant garb. And mm-hmm. then when Public Enemy hit and NWA happened, they're like, yeah, I guess we'll do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Dre is not dressing like a Halloween doctor anymore.
They kick off the whole album with "Stop What You're Doing" because I'm about to ruin the style.
Imagine the style that you used to.
Imagine the style that you're used to. Yeah.
Check it out. Tonight we're gonna flip and trip and let it all hang out tonight. We're gonna say what we like. Cause yo, we wanna know how many people in the flow. We like to just let yourselves go and do what you like. What's tonight's your night? Just eat food. Try not to be crude. Kill the attitude, chill the serious mood, and do what you like. And do what you like. Everybody do what you like.
Do what you like. Just reminds me of skating around a skating rink and hugging the wall. No. That is a hugging the wall song yeah. at the skating rink.
Speaking of hugging the wall,
that's us playing Tron on the arcade and wishing you had a girlfriend.
Was anyone else's introduction to the Humpty Dance and Digital Underground via Weird Al Yankovic?
No.
Mine was.
No, how do you mean?
What was the track? Polka Your Eyes Out? Off of
off the deep end,
yeah, where he just go, it's just like a big medley of like all of like the top 40 songs, and he doesn't miss polka,
sure,
yeah, and he goes into the hook of the Humpty Dance, and I knew most of the songs as a child that he was covering, but I'm like, the Humpty Dance, that's funny. Who are
yeah,
guys?
That's where they slow it down. They do like a swing thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it like snaps and yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, they lounge out Humpty Dance.
Then they go into Cherry Pie. Mm-hmm. And then I miss you much. I mean, if we want to do an entire episode on Off the Deep End, I am here.
Dude,
for
I
it,
would
guys.
Absolutely talk for a half hour about Off the Deep
End. We got to do a commentary for the new Weird Al movie on Hulu.
We'll ask Robert Dimery on this interview why Off the Deep End is an
episode. She's my cherry pie.
I mean, honestly,
10 you know, miles wide.
He must be held to account.
Well, just it's interesting. I mean, if Weird Al is definitely something to listen to and check out because nobody else has ever done it. Again,
nope.
You know, I mean, it's truly unique.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, speaking of Humpty, that the label, you know, it hit big, right? Humpty Dance is a big hit, crossover, it's on the charts. And they were like, all right, do more songs with Humpty as the character. And Shock G was like, no, no, thank you. It'll be stupid if we just do it for every song. So he
yeah, the label was like, we have our new Urkel. Yeah.
He's like, Humpty died. Yeah. In a different fire.
So is Humpty on tracks besides Humpty Dance and Do What You Like? Is he on? I forget if he's on other tracks.
There's a reference, but I think those are the only two that he's specifically on. Although Humpty on the Blowfish sounds very much like Humpty.
I do like that he references his performance in Do What You Like in the lyrics of Humpty Dance. He's like, I'm the one that said grab him by the biscuits.
Remember that from the couple songs ago?
Yeah, I liked the track listing too of the sort of
which track listing?
Oh, is there multiple?
Yeah.
Well, the cassette and the CD are longer than the LP.
Yeah. I mean the CD, I guess. The standard, you know, tracks. Starts off with Humpty Dance, goes into The Way We Swing. And then sort of Underwater Rhymes, which is, you know, man, everything has like P-Funk and Funkadelic backing track, which is always good for me.
Yes, rhyming that's on one the of the funk, things I really like about it.
With Flashlight. And then, New Jazz, Danger Zone, Do What You Like, Freaks of the Industry. I mean.
Yeah, mostly just all Parliament, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the same thing, sure, but sure. Parliament's what pops up most in the credits.
I think Flashlight is on like two or three songs too.
And
great song,
totally. It's on Do What You Like and also Rhyming on the Funk at least, and also Danger Zone.
Party Band. I mean, as far as I could tell, they're worshiping that sort of Parliament Funkadelic atmosphere. When they got into the clubs, they were very interactive. You know, dressed up. Throughout party packs with novelty horns, noisemakers, condoms, all that
sex
sort
packets.
Of thing. Sex packets.
Yeah.
We gonna talk about Nothing But Trouble?
Yeah. Sounds like you are, Kyle.
Yes. This group does appear in the 91, 92 film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god.
Nothing but Trouble.
That's right.
Chevy Chase Vehicle. written and directed by Dan Aykroyd, I believe, right? Did he direct it?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Garsh.
Yeah. I rewatched it. It's a nightmare. Just to see them in it. And
it is a nightmare. It's not funny. Chevy Chase is insane. Demi Moore?
Yep.
It's shocking.
I don't understand how in movies in the 80s actually got made or why they pushed through
$40 million. Dollars.
Yeah.
Cocaine.
They gave Dan Aykroyd $40 million to make that movie.
John Candy is just like in there.
Let me turn my nose into a dick for this one scene. It'll be funny.
The story, I'm looking it up, the story was by Peter Aykroyd and the screenplay by Dan. Mm-hmm. So this is
a family affair.
But yeah, if you do want to watch, if you want to see this group in there.
With Tupac on
screen. Yep. 35 millimeter. I think they get murdered.
I can't remember.
No, they don't.
No, wait, no. Does Dan Aykroyd like them and he lets them go?
He plays the organ with them.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
Fucking ego.
He's the judge, right?
Yep. The judge rocks it out and they're loving it.
Dan Aykroyd will jump at any chance to play music with your band on film.
Yes.
That's true.
They all get drunk with Crystal Skull vodka. Yeah.
Talk about aliens.
Yeah, I thought the variety on this album is so good. From
I agree.
Underwater Rhymes, hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean rapping like a blowfish.
And it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Like it takes talent to make Underwater Rhymes work and it fucking works.
The way they
it's
sort
goofy,
of muffle
but there's
it
like really there's
an octopus
here.
Makes a natural choice for a DJ.
Absolutely. No, I was walking around in the woods listening to this record as I do now apparently. And yeah, that one came on and I went, and then like within 30 seconds I was like, yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
But not
was it MC Blowfish that tipped it over for you?
And it was MC Blowfish.
You listen to this alone in the woods?
Yeah, man. I found out.
Are you okay?
Yeah, there's walking trails not too far from my house that I've been doing every day and Yeah.
It's a real missed opportunity for the Little Mermaid, which came out right around this time, to get them in, in placement for that song.
True.
That's right. Could have done it. Rhyming on the Phone.
MC Blowfish could have at least done a verse during like Under the Sea or something.
That's what I'm saying.
I had to Google whether or not sex packets were a real thing. They're not.
No.
But if they were,
NASA was keeping it a secret.
I would totally buy some sex packets. That sounds fun.
I don't know. Did you read like one of the claims was that you take it and then you fall asleep and then you jizz in your pants and you wake up.
That's
a party. And you're hungry afterwards.
Like, I don't know. Put on like your sweatpants or something. It's okay. Like, if you had real plans that night, you wouldn't be taking a sex packet.
You take a sex packet, you fall asleep, you jizz in your pants, and then you wake up. That doesn't sound fun.
It's a virtual sex experience.
Give it a break, right? Man.
Ben, why are you wearing a fake nose right now?
Just trying to push some sex packets on y'all.
Why are you broadcasting this from a Burger King background?
My favorite, too, is he would describe them to journalists. And the journalists were like, is this real? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's totally real. And he couldn't, like, figure out if he was just making it up. But he's like, oh, yeah, I've had him before. He's just, like, completely serious when he's talking to people about it.
He's got, like, just enough information about them that he'll talk about in interviews. Like, well, I guess that, like, astronauts need some kind of release, I guess. That makes sense, you know? He had, like, the whole, like the street name was Sex Packets, but he had, like, the like actual pharmaceutical acronym for them and stuff. Like it definitely sent me Googling.
GSRA. GSRA is
the genetic suppression relief antidotes.
That's right.
Yes.
Which really sounds like a Dr. Octagon thing.
Yeah. I think speaking of which, that's where we're going with this type of music, right?
Yeah, for sure. For
yeah.
Sure. We're at 400 fathoms. Arrived.
Now last night underwater I saw a French mermaid, treated her to caviar and wine over shrimp brain in the raw on the ocean floor. Need I say more? You never heard nobody kick it like this before. Pink champagne, octopus brain, saw your DJ underwater through the window pane. That sucker tried to hit a mix but the mix didn't happen. Records kept floating, all the fish kept laughing, a blowfish blew my mind and started to rhyme as the octopus.
This Humpty Dance reached number 11 on the pop charts, number 7 on R&B, number 1 on Billboard rap singles charts. And of course, as you mentioned before, been sampled by so many other artists.
1,001.
Yeah.
At least 100.
A ton.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which is funny because they reference again later in their later album. I believe it's Sons of the Pea or the Body Hat Syndrome. Body Hat Syndrome would be better. But they just go through everyone who is sampled and they're like, all right. They just like line them up and play them through all of them.
I'm surprised more people don't sample that warbly bass line. Like if you want to get my butt on the dance floor, that's all you need. Yeah. That's all you need. And I'll be out there sweating it down.
It's sick. Yeah.
What do y'all think of Gutfest 89?
It's fun.
It's okay. It's kind of weird.
It is weird.
It's got a decent lineup, like the Who's there. Go to there. And,
yeah, the Clash. The Who.
The Clash.
I guess
that was the most mysterious track for me. I was like, what are you guys saying here?
Yeah, I couldn't quite. I guess it was just, you know, being like, oh, there's big girls. There's skinny girls. There's white girls. There's black girls. You know, like. Just saying that everybody, it was a very, like a whole group of
Gutfest is
is there. Yeah. Is Gutfest.
Yeah.
I thought when you were bringing up before, you're bringing up your trauma from the school bus, Kyle.
Is it trauma?
Is it?
Wait, go ahead.
When you're talking about Freaks of the Industry, I went back and I kind of read the lyrics and I was like, what are they actually saying on this song? Like what kind of message are they saying? And in some interviews and stuff, they had to like kind of explain themselves. And one of the things that they said, they're like, yeah, we like eating pussy. Like That's our thing. We're not afraid to say that as rappers.
That was taboo back then. Yeah.
Right, right. And I think that that was like something that was sort of setting them apart. They weren't, they said, yes, we have sex, right? It's sex is fun. And it's presented as fun on this album. And yeah. They're not just bragging about their conquests.
Yeah.
Like a lot of rap at that time was like, I got this chick. I got this chick. Everybody wants to be with me. They were
it's very sex positive. I mean,
explaining
the Humpty
like,
Dance song.
Yeah. Humpty will tell you his nose has multiple uses.
Yeah,
he's like, you're fat. I don't care. I'm freaky.
Yeah,
fucked in a Burger King bathroom. Wait.
And so it's like doing these different it's almost like a quiz of like, what would you do? What's the right thing to do in these situations? It's I found it fascinating that a band at this time was like kind of going through that instead of just being like, oh yeah, I got this chick and she was so fine, and you know, just kind of running through like a male ego fantasy.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. Yeah, you compared this to like the NWA record and it's which wasn't that much later either.
No, we just talked about that like last week.
Yep. Over the next few years there were more hip hop songs with hump motif. Can anybody think
Bobby
of
Bobby Brown?
Bobby Brown, number three U.S. hit with Humpin' Around. Rodney O and Joe Cooley, 1992, Humps for the Boulevard. And 1993, 95 South had Hump with it.
How long do we have to wait until we hear about Fergie's Lovely Lady Lumps? That's like early 2000s, right?
Yes. I think that's later.
Wasn't there a Hunchback of Notre Dame song about humping?
Like in the movie?
Like, I think it was called Double Humpin'. Double Humpin'.
Yeah, heavily influenced by various funk bands, defining an element of West Coast rap called rackadelic. Had never heard that before.
Rackadelic?
Yep.
Okay.
Like an effects rack?
Yep.
Oh.
But I guess it's included sort of funk bands. It's more funky. All right, what do we think? What do you think of the album?
I'm into it. And I wish I'd been listening to more of it back in the day. And now that we lost Shock G last year, I know he's probably got a full catalog that I can get into. Like, I feel like I'm finally getting into, like, I got read up on Shock G and like, I'm interested in him. I think he's like a crazy talented guy and like visionary. And, realize as of recently, I won't be getting anything new from him. So, definitely positive from me. I think that this is funny without being goofy. I also think it's cool and innovative.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. It's really smart and irreverent. Sorry, go ahead, Adam.
Oh, I was just saying it works. You know, I mean, I think that they set out to do, they accomplished. You know, it has the jokes land, you know, 32 years later. There's some funny lines. There's some moments I caught myself laughing out loud, you know, and they created the party atmosphere they were going for.
Yeah.
It's a fun feel. And like, you can imagine being in a club and even just like hearing this spun and people just having a good time. I think it translates.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm positive on it. I think that I tend to not like, you know, sort of humorous or something that's poking fun of itself or, you know, too goofy. And this one just, it landed. Like, they have the whole construction. Everything is there. It's got the beats. It relies on funk, which is something a little bit more innovative than some of the like rap stuff we've been listening to. It kind of spans into that De La Soul territory.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't do as much sampling and it's not as, you know, precise as that kind of,
or artistic.
Artistic
maybe.
Yeah. It relies on the sort of gimmick. But at the same time, they didn't just rely on like one gimmick. Like we're listening to Danger Zone, and that's Shock G says that's his real true like rap flow, his
that's
rhyming scheme.
Yeah.
And that song is on there to leave a little room to be a little more serious about the crack epidemic and things like that. So it goes from all the, I mean, from underwater rapping to like sex party to.
It's like a Ween album.
Yeah, it goes a lot of different places, and I think it's great. A lot of them, they pull it off. And anything that is inspired by like Parliament is going to be good for me.
I'm going to look into other bands that are inspired by Parliament to mm-hmm. hopefully make you sad. But okay. I'll go positive. My minor quibble of it, like the track's going on too long. Honestly, I think if I had sat down with this like a couple of more times, I wouldn't even give a shit. So no, it's all there. It's a very fun party record. And
I think it's if you imagine yourself listening to it in the background, like at a party, mm-hmm. versus with your critical ears on too. Like it's good to listen for the lyrics with your critical ears, but as far as the beat and the length of songs, like if you're just having a good time and this is on,
yeah,
I think it's a different context
for sure. 100%.
Yeah, I was definitely doing other things and listening to it a lot, and it just kind of like flows over you. It's you just have
absolutely
sort of like a in the background. Cool. All right, next time we'll be talking about Pet Shop Boys Behavior.
Boys.
This love. Now it's just sex and a pill. It gives me such a thrill. It's nice. And it's a guy for a girl.